Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord. Amen. The text for this Sunday is taken from Gospel according to St. Luke, from chapter 5, the first 11 verses. Today is the fifth Sunday after Epiphany, the revelation of God to humankind. And it still continues in a way, for wherever the word is preached, God is drawing close to us, revealing himself through the scriptures and also to our conscience and in our conscience. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Now so it was, as the multitude pressed upon him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Now when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Father, grant your blessing upon this word and upon us, for your word is truth. Amen. What is the reason why God came to this earth? For whoever saw Jesus saw God. And yet we read that no one has ever seen God. But Jesus reveals that whoever has seen him has seen the Father. What is the reason that he came? And wants us to behold him, to a point that our lives and the direction of it is changed. The key to some degree anyway, and to me very profound key, is given in letter to Ephesians in chapter 1, reading from verse 7. "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in the wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. I took with me a booklet that I now and then read, just to not to become too rusty, so to speak. And this is concerning the Oxford Confession. A Lutheran church is known for its confessional church, in a way, confessing. Beside Apostles' Creed, Nicene Creed, we also deal with Oxford Confessions and other things that are written down what we as Christians believe. Today the church, especially speaking of Lutheran Church, is changing to the worse. It has become a scorn to many that have some God-given moral guidance. But this is in general. We can never speak of everybody as everyone in the group belongs to that group. There are people within, like in the city of Nazareth, of whom the Philip said, Nathaniel said, can anything good come from Nazareth? And Jesus came from that city of ill reputation. We are not to be judged where we come from, but of perhaps what we portray, what we are. A Lutheran church needs God's grace. New awakening to things where many were willing to give their life for the things that they believed. Today we are dealing compromise left and right. And Lutheran church today is seen often as a social club. Everybody is friendly, and people think that through this we are drawn to Christ and to his wounds. Far have we drifted from the truth. We have this nature in us. It is easier to believe the lie and to take the easy road than to comprehend the love of God and to be changed by one who alone changes human hearts to bring peace upon this earth amongst men of good will. Many years ago, according to researcher George Barna, and I'm reading, quoting from here now, only 7 of every 10 adult Americans today adopt the traditional view of God. That is not to say that even all those with the traditional view necessarily hold a biblical view of God. The statement tested by Barna was, God is the all-powerful, all-knowing, perfect creator of the universe who rules the world today. And then the closing of this paragraph, we even carry within ourselves evidence of the divine, the human conscience, that innate knowledge of right and wrong tells us that there is a God and that we are accountable to him. And this statement ties to Romans chapter 2, verse 15, and likewise to Hebrew chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Just think and ponder. We will not face God as a group per se, though all nations, according to Apostle Paul, are drawn to consider who they are and where they are going. God wants repentance also in nations, and nations are made out of people like you and I. Everything is open and naked before him. And before him as an individual, I must give account. And woe to me if I have not an advocate. And that means more than just a word. It means a real person, the one who cares for me and came for me, lived for me, suffered for me, died for me, and rose again for me, and intercedes today in my behalf. And when I say my, you put into that place your own name. Consider the depth of God's love for you and me. We have changed. God changes not. When you consider this globe and this earth and recent earthquake in Haiti, our hearts, if we are sensible, we are moved with compassion when we see suffering people, and especially children. And we feel so helpless because multitudes are dying for the lack of care and sufficient help. We are somehow bogged down with the massiveness of the problem. And the poor doctors and nurses have to make choices who they must allow to die and who they can help that person may live. And in this, though we may say America has become a scorn of many nations, despite of our present economical need and moral corruption, there arises a wave and a tune, a means by which we want to help. And in many ways also another song is being formulated. Lord, give us wisdom that this help will not just evaporate, that there would be something on which to build a new society. But we cannot do that with capitalism. Because a basic issue is a human heart. We can wash the cup out from outside all we want, but if inward is defiled, society doesn't change. Jews had, beside 10 commandments, 613 or so commandments. When you read the Old Testament, all the stipulations and rules, how many do you think we have? We have over 2 million laws. And now the proposal laws is perhaps 12 inches high in paper. We are approaching, we are in it already, we have become insane. When we think we can rule by laws, and yet we are a nation of laws, but what is missing in our life is self-control. And lack of self-control is because we don't know the living God. And we don't know what is waiting. When Jesus came to his people, revealing himself, we know what he faced because we can read and we can hear. One who wants all people to be saved, one who wants all people to be converted, to turn around instead of the hostile way of God, where a devil comes and sows all these riches, all this glory that is in the world, but the prize is you serve him. And people do not realize how they serve him, because just to live is life. But what our life is saturated with is not necessarily from God. Though these things are as a gift to us, but if we serve many gods, God is against us. You cannot serve God and mammon. A little bit earlier in Gospel according to Luke in chapter 4. This perhaps was text here also last Sunday. Jesus reveals whom he is seeking. He is seeking marginal people. Because when we are rich, when we are healthy and wealthy, we don't need God. Those that are full don't come to church because of hunger. But if I know my hunger and my need, I come that again and again I be sprinkled with the precious blood of Jesus that proclaims over and over again hope and restoration through the forgiveness of sins and his acceptance. His own people in a city of Nazareth. How many thousand were there, God knows, at that time. And they well knew what he was like because he had grown in stature. He became a man. He was, what we may say, in favor with God and with man. He was a good person to be round with. But here when he tells his mission to his own city or town people, the reaction turned out to be sour. They ended up judging him. They knew him too well as a man, and him to usurp this power that belongs to God without thinking that one or the other way the Messiah would come. But he did not come in a form they wanted. So it is not only in Jerusalem that is a coarse scorn at this time of his birth. Who bothered to go to Bethlehem? Any more than later when the reputation of Jesus would come to Jerusalem, they would send those that would bring report back. They were too lofty and mighty to come to listen the word of life. They had God in a box. Jesus said, when he had opened the scroll, and when I read these things, we with Western thought and our books and computers perhaps don't realize that there were scrolls that would roll one end in and one would open, or vice versa. But even so, that Jesus was not illiterate. And in order for him to find a book place in the book of Isaiah, that means he knew it practically by heart. So when you start, as a Hebrew reading is, from left to right, you start from the chapter 1. It takes a long way to roll the book till you come to chapter 61. And there he finds the place. And here are the marginal people. God's purpose, why he came, and to whom did he come for. And we, Lord willing, find ourselves in these people just as much as Peter, Simon Peter, found himself when he knelt in a boat in midst of slimy fish by the feet of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and to recover the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he gives a scroll back, and he says, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And they marveled what he was saying and teaching. And then from that primeval mire, slime, comes a thought, "Is he not Joseph's son?" All that is good is dragged down to our level. And that simply means they did not know God despite of the synagogue worship service. We as the listeners of God's word, time and time again, do we have ears that we hear the voice of the Good Shepherd? And sometimes when we don't hear it, we long for it, because our heart is made to be in fellowship with living God. And we are torn from within, because on the one hand, we are alienated from God. Our back is turned him and turned against him. And that simply means that's our basic sin. We don't walk with God. And we cannot change it. We try to change things by becoming religious. We are basically religious for the need we have in our heart, because we are seeking God. But there's a way which seems right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. We are idolaters. And a world doesn't, that means in an old man condition, the world has no lack of religious expressions. What is so harmful here is that we are not only separated from God, but we are separated from one another. And the damage of this sin is revealed to us day after day. First of all, in own person, I do things I don't want to do. I say things which I later regret. I think of thoughts that I would not want anyone to see. And in small ways, I don't only sin, or big ways, I don't only sin in thought, word, and deed, but I also sin in omission. I don't care for my neighbor as I want him to care for me. That's a sad thing of human affairs. So in Nazareth, they wanted to kill him. Think about religious fervor. And it is perhaps the most authentic hatred that there is. And it is displayed to us also in a Muslim Islamic thought. The hatred. And it is a tremendous motivator in human life when you fight for God. And in that battle, it doesn't matter if little children are blown to smithereens, long as the goal will be achieved. We do the same thing in some ways, but we do it more hideous way, because our philosophy and lifestyle attacks the human soul. Teaching children that when we have utopia here, we have it all. When you have things you want, you have it all. That will bring you happiness. But a man's life does not consist in the things he has. Solzhenitsyn, a scholar from Russia, was allowed to leave Russia after many years in jail and tremendous sufferings. He came to the United States because of Western pressure to let him leave Russia. And he taught, is it in Cambridge or Yale University? Some say he was a very godly man. And one prophecy came at his commencement speech was this, that we are facing annihilation because we don't consider the spiritual things and state a man's soul. Those are more or less my interpretations of the speech. But a life cannot be kept together unless the man inward is restored to that place where he can say to God, my Lord, my Savior. And even more intimately, my Father. Jesus did many miracles. And in a land in which we have, many of us, never visited, what we may say, below sea level, where he preached these sermons by Capernaum. Hundreds of feet below sea level. Beautiful land in a way on the northwestern corner of it, as I read about it, with fruit trees and flowers, a place to be. A lake that is fresh with living fish, teeming with life. Not very big lake at that, but it was a life-giving lake. Capernaum people wanted to keep Jesus because he did many miracles. When Jesus would withdraw to pray and to meditate with his Father, people didn't want him to go elsewhere. Because when you have one in your midst, we can take some of the glory with him. But even in that, it is displayed the whole life style of God, if you may say, is giving, giving. How deep is the Father's love for us? You have, but others must have also. And had he been selfish, he would say, I have it made. But where he had it made is, my Father is with me. And his testimony of me, his witness of me, is greater even that of John the Baptist. John the Baptist pointed to me, but my Father is with me. And now, looking at these disciples, to be yet to pick the average people living on fringes of life, toiling, and may I say, at times, cursing. I have worked many years as a person with hands, down the line. And sometimes I have come across the situations where I have found myself changing because surroundings promoted that. But walking away from situations, you're afflicted in conscience. I am no better. As King David would say, we are all guilty. And there, by this great lake, there are multitudes that want to hear God's word. It is like they had never heard it before. In midst of that lifestyle, a struggle for living, they kept their religion, and there's a Roman government, and there are all these surrounding other things that are taking hold. For they were living in a land of shadow of death. And there comes not an entertainer, but one who would speak that your conscience would respond to it. The trouble with us listening oftentimes is that we become habitual sinners and our conscience is hardened. We no longer have ears to hear, eyes to see, and heart to love. We are aliens to God and to one another. But here in this occasion and many other occasions, people had a central place. They had their games for children and for adults too. But in midst of it, there was a toll booth. There were laws and restrictions. And there was groanings waiting for Messiah. And now one speaks to them as no man ever has spoken before. And there by this lake that bears at least four names stands Jesus. And he sees two boats there, and he sees that fishermen are cleaning their nets. Whether there was a storm a night before or at that night before, and nets got kind of filled with debris. But just to let you know what I have read, the fishing was quite simple and primitive. They would have nets that they would skillfully throw in shallow water where the pools of fish would come, and lead weights would pull down the edges of it, and it would be like a dome, and it would catch the fish, mostly smaller fish. But then they also would go out deeper, and they would not leave their nets like we have today at in Lake Superior. They could use only drag nets because it was unlawful for others to come and then destroy the nets that were catching fish. So they used the method of dragging fish. But even so, there Jesus, after having preached, he tells Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for the catch. And Simon, being somewhat reluctant, knowing the facts, the experience of night before, doesn't quite want to do that, but he has witnessed on a shore and the presence of Jesus that works a miracle. I will do it. He did not do this at the whim. There was already preceding word and evidence of this master's power. And when they have done what he had told them, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Just to think, and if you could visualize that the edge of a boat would be perhaps only 2-3 inches above water. there was so much fish in a boat. And in that situation, who would say it's an average catch? No. There's more to life than what we logically will put together. We are living in the presence of Almighty God. And we fail to realize sometime in daily life, when we eat, from where did it come from? And how was it put together? When we see with our eyes, do we have comprehension even with modern science? What takes place unseen through the sensory elements of the eye, the nerves, and the brain? Many things. It's like Isaiah, the heaven is full of, heaven and earth is full of his glory. But we are so accustomed that we don't realize God's presence. So they needed help, and help was given. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Christian, and when I say religion, it's different than other religions, but yet it is a worship of God to which the religion is tied. It is namely God revealing himself, God opening his heart to us, what he is like, and God drawing us to himself. We have three things that we can deal with as logical people when we consider heavens, universe, and a science, whether it is macro or micro. And we analyze these things as observers, and we may ask, where did it all come from and how? Because ultimately it will come to a point that things that are seen are made out of things not seen. And even deeper than that, God is spirit. Is spirit some molecule formation? Is it some primeval dust? No. With my spirit, I can sense to some degree your spirit. But who will search God's spirit, the deep things of God? Only the Spirit of the Lord. And when Jesus opens his heart and draws us closer, what he does is points, I'm the creator. Throughout the history, you see development. And in my nation, the expectation of ruler to come. Then I speak to you in conscience, and it is quite universal, and it is because of this that we find religions. In Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. Interesting that the word depth is brought forth. And also in Proverbs we read, the counsel of the heart is like deep water. The man of understanding will draw it out. And who can draw human heart to face its own dilemma better than God himself? To whom all wisdom belongs. And when he does these miracles and speaks, he is dealing where God is opening his heart and drawing us closer. And the greatest revelation is when God meets us in person. When he speaks to us as person to person. And that's where the supernatural nature of God's word comes in. And a reaction that takes place in our hearts of listeners. We know we stand before truth. And it doesn't change though we put arm in arm and the flesh will stand against it. It will stand. And when he draws us close to himself, it simply means that in that distance or proximity, today what we know, we can see his wounds. So close. I read a story this morning, and I did not write it down, but in short it would be the young lad with hump on his back struggled to podium to recite Bible verses that he had memorized. On the way up, someone shouted, "Why don't you take, hey cripple, why don't you take the pack off from your back?" The little lad was stricken and crying. A father arises from his seat and goes to his son, takes his son and says, "He's the most courageous person in this audience. In some ways we may say, how can a little child react with infirmity except to become even more deeply wounded? On the other hand, if there was power to react, what would we do? But what did Jesus do? And that's where we find the depth. The word depth is interesting. Looking from the dictionary, it comes from a word pathos or pathein, the base word. But it means suffering, but also it means reaching for help. And when Jesus sends Simon to catch fish from the deep, in a way it relates. That's where the real marginal people are, the masses are. But instead of catching them for food, I make you to become fishers of men. And a lake from which you fish is the world. Starting from Jerusalem, going to Samaria, or Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Simon, at this point, is awestruck and fearful, so also others. But does that mean when he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinner," that his heart was converted already? But let me assure you that when he became follower of Jesus, he was under the protection of the word. But he had many things to learn about his heart. Like boasting, when Jesus at the Last Supper came to him and wanted to wash his feet, And Peter, this time, also said, never. As to say, depart, that you would wash my feet. And Jesus points out, unless you allow me to wash your feet, you have no part of me. Oh, to come to a place in life where you say, yes, Lord. Do not wash my feet alone, but wash everything, for I am a sinner. And Jesus says, he who already has been washed needs only that his feet be washed. Otherwise, daily repentance, daily reaching for the depths of his love. Yes, the issues of human heart are deep. So we find out that it is God who has come for us. He is reaching for us, and the greatest revelation is through his word, which is very personal. And blessed are those who believe, who do not run away. I trust that you're one of those that regardless how the Lord has blessed you with riches, with full boats, that when you come to soar, this price of life is greater than earthly possessions. And yet, earthly possessions are given to stewards that others may be blessed with the depthness of his love, and that we would all glorify God who is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your living word. Thank you for your Son, Lord Jesus. And thank you for his invitation, where he draws sinners to his presence, eats with them, talks with them, and by his precious blood and Holy Spirit changes them, that they become followers, doing good like their master wherever they go. Lord, may your Holy Spirit through the word deal with problems that we have within our own heart, within our families, within our community, throughout the state, throughout our nation, and throughout the world. For we know, as we witness, that human heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And to that depth you have reached to pull us up. You have shown us that your word is true and that we are in need of a Savior. And Lord, when you have found us, it is not that we have found you, for we were walking away from you, but you drew close to us. You spake to us. You loved us. And because of your unspeakable love and gift, we learn to love thee. And we learn to consider our fellow man as precious, purchased by the blood of Jesus. And the desire that you have, that all things would be united together, and that none would be lost. Grant that your word be heard, and we would become and be true worshipers of living God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Lord, bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face shine upon you.